Well, good evening. Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But we're going to ask you to hold your calls for the time being. We have with us on the line Ron Brown. And Ron, of course, we've had on many times in the past, just talking about what's happening to the economy. And I think it's so important that our listeners understand that, oh, we're told, oh, isn't it wonderful now? The economy is coming back again. You know, we have a jobless recovery. I love that term, jobless recovery. The economy is up, but there are no more jobs. Well, where are the jobs coming from then? We're not going to have more jobs because we're shipping our industries out to other countries in the world, primarily today, either to Mexico or China. And of course, we're actually subsidizing the corporations to leave America, but we can't tell the American people that because, well, as their living standards begin to decline, as jobs are harder and harder to get. Oh, if you've got a good job now, it's not going to affect you, at least not for the time being, until maybe you work for government. But what happens when government begins to downsize because they don't have the funding to continue hiring all the people that they have in the past? Certainly one of the growth industries, there's only two industries that are growing now. One is defense spending, massive, massive defense spending, and the other is the housing sector, and of course they're keeping that going simply by keeping the interest rates ridiculously low. And of course Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are loaning money like it's going out of style, and of course they're building new homes all the time. But what happens, of course, if the real estate bubble bursts, as it has in Japan and as it has in other countries, and pretty soon those houses, the loans on the houses are worth more than the house is worth. People are going to walk away from the houses they have in other countries, and of course then who's going to end up paying the debt? Well, right now it'll be the American taxpayers who are really responsible for the debts incurred by Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, and now there are people in Washington knowing full well what's going to go and what the future holds, who are actually talking about, well, let's cut them loose so that actually, of course, if the real estate bubble bursts and these companies have to, take massive billions of dollar losses, well, it'll come off the backs of the stockholders, because the stockholders have been making a steady 7% or so for some time. And, well, of course, then they're going to have to pick up that, and eventually their equity in the corporation will be lost. Ron, what do you see happening today? You know, where do we stand in this economic cycle?
The constant battle that we've discussed many times to keep the printing press running fast enough to keep the economy from collapsing. Because, see, after 80, almost 90 years now of a Federal Reserve system, where everything we call money really is nothing more than monetized debt. In other words, we built this whole edifice we call the United States on a mountain of debt. So it becomes a Ponzi scheme in the sense that you must keep the money supply growing so you can keep funding the interest on the ever-increasing debt structure. And, of course, in the year 2000, when the dot-com bubble and the high-tech stocks collapsed with 50, 60, 70%, you destroyed massive amounts of paper wealth, and now the government is desperately trying to print money. And, you know, you mentioned the real estate market. That's one way they're printing money. I'm sure the war effort is creating a lot of economic activity. And so whatever they can do to create money to offset what's being destroyed by the markets.
And of course, you know, they really thought that they could produce wealth by running up the stock market artificially, because there was nothing behind it. I mean, you're looking at price earning ratio of stocks of 30-35 to 1. I mean, they're still about that. What's the price earnings ratio of the S&P? Have any idea what it is, Ron?
Well, over 30.
Okay. Well, of course, basically it should be down around 10-8. So basically, there's really no value in the stocks other than the fact that other people will buy them for more than you sell them for them. And of course, they created this whole bubble of wealth that there wasn't anything behind it. It was simply all built upon speculation. And when the bubble burst, why, of course, people lost so much. And so many of the people who were, say, worked for Enron, why, all of the pension funds were Enron. What do you think they were invested in? Why they were invested in Enron stock, which suddenly became, you know, from being, you know, $40, $50, $60, $80 a share, was worth, you know, pennies a share, $1 or $2 a share at the most. And, of course, their pension funds are gone, as happened to really so many of the people who worked for these major corporations, where, of course, the insiders were running up the price of stock and selling their stock. But if you work for the company, you weren't allowed to sell your stock. And these people were impoverished after working for the company for so many years. Well, you know, I'm really concerned about the housing market right now, because there certainly housing construction still is so very, very strong. And, of course, it's only because of the very, very low interest rates that this is happening, isn't it, Ron?
That's right. Well, see, when the market started collapsing, in order to restore confidence and create money in the system, they started bringing the interest rates ever lower. So they've created a bubble just like they've done in the other areas of the market, where it becomes a phenomenon where you must keep interest rates going ever lower to keep the game going.
Yeah, but of course, how much lower can they go? They're at 1%
exactly
right now.
Well, it's just like when they were manipulating the price of gold by selling forward and leasing gold into the market to drive the price down. The people who were doing that were making money as long as the gold price kept going lower. But you had to reach a point where the gold price simply couldn't go any lower, and when it hit about $250 an ounce, and I think that was about July or August of 2001, you see, gold then was below the cost of production, so all the gold mines started to shut down, and at that point, gold had to go higher. Well, the same is going to happen to the interest rates. It already has happened. You can't keep interest rates going lower forever and ever, because as we run the printing press to try to stimulate the real estate market and the economy, we are devaluing the currency of the dollar, and foreigners own $8 trillion of their reserves are tied up in dollar investments. So as we devalue the currency, then they're obviously not happy with their dollar investments. For example, the dollar at one point earlier this year was down, what, 30% against the euro?
Right.
Well, my goodness, if you were in Germany, just as an example, and you had, let's say, $100 billion of German reserves tied up in U.S. Treasury bonds, and all of a sudden you wake up and say, my gosh, the dollar just lost 30% against my currency, so my $100 billion, I've already lost $30 billion just on the currency exchange on that investment. And then, to add insult to injury, lo and behold, the bond market collapsed 15% in a six-week period. So you've lost another 10-15% of your money there. So obviously foreigners are starting to run and get out of the dollar, which adds more problems to us, because if those bonds get dumped into the market, our Fed obviously could not allow those bonds to get dumped into the market and unwanted, so they have to step in and run the printing press to buy those bonds back. So they're printing press from every angle, and we're just heading towards hyperinflation, I'm afraid.
Well, of course, one of the interesting things I was reading the other day, that the Orientals, Japan and China, own the majority of the part of our national debt, which, of course, there are two parts to our national debt. One is the massive IOUs where the money we've stolen from Social Security and Medicare to fund. We used it to fund the Vietnam War. We used it to fund the first Gulf War. And we used it to fund what's going on today. We steal probably between $250 and $300 billion from Social Security every year, and we put in an IOU that says the government's going to pay it back. But people don't understand the government doesn't have any money. The federal government doesn't have any money at all other than what it can get by taxation, but if it goes too high on taxes, then people get angry. What it can borrow, or certainly what it can print. Those are the only sources of funding that they have. So the Japanese hold about $400 billion of American currency. The Chinese hold about $200 billion of, I shouldn't say currency, of our government debt, the portion that's owned. And I suppose the Germans probably own 100 or 150 a billion. I don't know how much they own. Countries throughout the world, many of them do hold part of our government debt as part of the reserves. But what happens when that debt, of course, the dollar falls, and as you point out, it's already fallen 30%. So if you were invested in government bonds and you were in from Japan, you have lost 30% of your investment. And if it looks like the dollar is going to continue to decline, I mean, any Japanese banker who's invested over here would have to have holes in his head, not eventually to begin to liquidate his holdings and pull that money back to Japan.
You know, you hear that because of our debt structure, we need, $1.5 to $2 billion of foreign money coming in, investing in our markets every single day to keep the treadmill going.
Right. And, of course, what happens if that money is not coming in? That is the frightening thing. If you go to David, I don't know if you know David Morgan. Do you know he writes on silver?
Yeah, I read him daily almost.
And there's a link on his website. And if you get to that, it's talking about the International Monetary Fund, and high IMF officials have said the American currency, American economy could collapse at any minute. Have you seen that that article?
I've got it right in front of me.
Would you like to read that to our listeners? Because people have to understand that people outside this country understand what's going on. You can't keep spending more than you take in year after year after year. So like Cruz Bustamante here in California, during the debate, he was trying to explain why we have the deficit. And he said, well, it's really very simple. We've been spending more than we've been taking in. That's the reason why we're in the problem we have today. And that's really the problem at the national level as well. We're spending so much more than we're taking in. And, of course, that increases our federal debt. And then, of course, as far as our international debt, our trade deficit, it's approaching $500 billion this year, $500 billion.
Yeah, the article, there's been a lot of them written, but the one I have in front of me was written September the 19th.
And who actually wrote that? Because they refer to the International Monetary Fund.
This particular article was written by Charlotte Denny and Larry Elliott from The Guardian.
All right, fine. That's, of course, a very, very prominent and well-known British newspaper. And this is the sort of thing you're never going to see in the major controlled media in the United States, because the last thing they want is for the American people to know the truth and the real danger we're in. And that's why, if you're out there in the listening audience, prepare for difficult times. And there are lots of things you can do, and we'll talk about that later. But begin to get yourself, you know, into a good position. Get out of debt as much as you can, and just quit spending money on things you don't need. What do they say? Batten down the hatches in preparation for the hurricane.
Right.
What's the article say, Ron?
Okay, the title says, IMF warns trade gap could bring down the dollar. The International Monetary Fund yesterday warned that the colossal United States trade deficit was a noose around the neck of the economy, emphasizing that the once mighty dollar could collapse at any moment, arguing that the world's big economies were already too dependent on the willingness of American consumers to live beyond their means. The IMF said the U.S. could not continue to run a current account deficit of 5% of gross domestic product. The IMF's chief economist, Kenneth Rogoff, said that it was just a matter of time before the gap closed, tipping the dollar into a potentially steep fall. If we were looking at a poor developing country, the world gives them just enough rope to hang themselves. A country like the United States, they give them enough rope to tie the noose around their neck several times. But it does happen in the end, he said. In its twice yearly report on the world economy, the fund warned that even a controlled slide in the dollar's value is likely to slow U.S. growth, and unless other countries picked up the slack, the global economy would suffer. and it just goes on to warn, you know.
More and more and more good news. But the thing is, if we were to program the other night with Dr. Kaufman on this book, Globalization and Its Detractors, and of course, it's written by a world-famous economist who got the Nobel Prize a year or so ago in economics, chief economic advisor to the Clintons, chief economic advisor to the World Bank after that. And he points out what's happened in other countries throughout the world, you know, and whenever they, of course, develop this massive debt, you know, eventually why the whole system implodes. There's rioting in the streets, and of course the people are impoverished, the value of their savings are gone, and of course he points out, well, in the United States at least you have a safety net to help people, but what happens when that safety net runs out? Or what happens when the government doesn't have the funds to fund the safety net? This is what we have to be concerned about. You know, we don't have money to repair the infrastructure here in the United States, to build the dams, to repair the highways and things, but we're going to spend $150 billion to rebuild the infrastructure of Iraq. We've already spent $79. The government's now asking for another $87, over $160 billion to build up the infrastructure of Iraq. What sort of madness is that? When, of course, we could use that money here at home, or at least we should not be spending it unless we had the money to spend. And, of course, it's going to have to just be used to massively increase our federal debt. And next year they're admitting a debt of $550 billion. And, of course, they don't bother to mention the $250 or $300 billion they're going to be stealing from Social Security. There is no Social Security fund, ladies and gentlemen. That is all IOUs. Where is the money going to come from? Out of the pockets of future workers to pay for the benefits of future retirees. So what's the solution, Ron?
Well, at this point, you know, America has benefited for the last 40, 50 years from being the world's reserve currency, and it just allowed us to spend way beyond our means because foreigners were flocking at the doors to buy up our debt and loan money to us because they wanted to trade with us. And so we've just spent ourselves beyond any hopeful, you know, any way of ever paying it back. So you just have that debt has to be collapsed and paid off. And that's the only way it will be paid off, because as long as the politicians can print money to promise more to the people, because the worse things get, the more they have to spend to keep the welfare state going. So, you know, the system has no choice but to collapse. The only question now is, will we still have a constitution and will we be a sovereign nation or an independent nation?
Well, I think people have to understand that both political parties are doing the same thing. Traditionally, the Republican Party was against deficit spending. It was against, increasing the federal debt. But that's all changed. The Republicans are now being even the biggest spenders of all time. And, of course, the Democrats are right beside them. And there is nobody there who's saying, we've got to get back to a responsible government that is not spending more than it can take in. And, of course, the massive tax cut, you know, that we've had, and I'm all in favor of tax cuts. They had to do something to try to keep the economy going, and that's what the tax cut was about. But, of course, where is the money going to come from? Well, as we said, there's only three sources of money. You tax the people and they get mad at you. Of course, you print more money, you create inflation, people get mad at you, or you simply borrow the money. And, of course, you hope you're out of office before the people find out what happened.
That's right. And, you know, we're at that point where they can't keep stretching the system any longer, because now the foreigners have waken up. We've spent ourselves into oblivion, and now they know they have to go somewhere else for their trade, so they're all jockeying for position to get out of their dollars that they've been accumulating for the last 30, 40 years.
And, of course, the average American has no idea that all the signs are there for the storm. Smart people are putting the plywood up on their windows, but the average American, of course, doesn't even know the storm is about to hit. We'll be back in a few minutes. We'll invite your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. We'd love to get your questions. Ron knows a lot more about these things than I do, and that's why we get him onto the program, because he's got his finger on the pulse. Be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. this is Dr. Stan, and my guest, of course, is Ron Brown, and we're talking really about the problems that our country faces today economically because, of course, of the program of the Fed. And the Fed is a privately owned central bank. It is owned by individuals who have set this bank up to benefit themselves. And if you think for 1 minute of why they're running this bank, of course, for your benefit, or well, you're sadly mistaken. They have a planned program of inflating our economy, our currency very, very slowly. So the dollar of today is worth about, what do you think, 1 or 2 pennies of what it was back in 1913? What's your take on that, Ron?
If I'm, last time I sold back in 1980, it was down to 3.9 cents. So don't tell them what it is today, 20 years later. Probably 2 to 3 cents max.
And so, and they do this every year. We just lose a little bit in the value of our currency. So there's, when you're a very young person, and of course you do with the logical thing, you begin saving for the future, and you put your money in the bank, and you maybe get, 3% interest, and then the government taxes you on that and takes away a 1% of that, and probably somewhere in there. If you're making a lot of money, they take away half of it. Between the federal and the state government, but let's say you get 2%, but the inflation rate's 3 or 4%, and of course eventually then you're losing a couple of percent every year. And then of course as the time goes by, that money becomes less and less value. The same thing is true with insurance policies, with most pension funds, with annuities. But since you don't understand that there is a planned inflation, and of course who is running these insurance companies and writing the annuities? The people who set up this system, and they didn't set it up to benefit you, they set it up to benefit themselves. Oh, would that be a fair statement?
Absolutely. Most Americans don't want to see that there is an agenda behind this. You know, the dollar is dropping 2 or 3% a year, and they just talk about inflation and they blame it on different people. But the reality is that there is people at the top who have an agenda, and the agenda is to transform America, to transform us from an independent sovereign nation into their one world government.
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm just going to say that until people understand that there is an organized plan to impoverish the American people at this time in history, up until now, and they bought our support because we had it so good. And, whoever had it as good as we've had here in America for the last 50 years. But the long-range plan, and it was laid out at Cancun back in 1982, and Ron's heard me say this before, because I read it in the Socialist International publication back then. I subscribed to a Socialist Affairs magazine, and they said, we've got to redistribute the wealth of the American people, because they have so much and everybody else has so little, so we're going to redistribute their wealth. And in 1982, I said, those fellows have got to be crazy. The American people would never allow that. And today I see we subsidize as we move our corporations, our corporate headquarters, our major producers and manufacturers out of the country, all subsidized with your money. And as those factories move out, of course, we no longer have manufacturing. And the amazing thing, if you look at the gross domestic product, manufacturing makes only up about 14% of this gross domestic product. Government makes up about 40% of the gross domestic product. Government spending. The gross domestic product really doesn't represent much of anything other than, the amount of money that's circulating back and forth. But wealth comes from production, from mining, from farming, from natural minerals and production. And we're not going to be a producer much longer here in the United States. Well, Dr. Stan, our guest this evening is Ron Brown. Of course, we're talking about what's happening. The plan is to transfer all of our textile industries to other countries. Now, this is being done, and of course, textile industries try to survive here. Eventually, they're going to go other. Under Canon Towels, Canon Sheets, just closed down here in the United States. I think they're going to have to sell their name. Probably some Japanese firm will buy the name because it's got a great name. Or a Chinese firm will buy the name. But certainly we've exported most of our steel industry and subsidized the Japanese and Chinese and all these other industries. We're subsidizing the corporations that are going to be leaving. In fact, we're doing an interview next couple of days, I think tomorrow, with Ian Vasquez about how we subsidize the industries that leave the United States. Why would any country do that?
Well, it has to be part of an agenda. Obviously, our leaders are not trying to protect America. You know, if they'd have wanted to protect America for the last 30, 40, 50 years, we should have had no income tax at all.
Sure.
We could have raised all the money we needed for a legitimate government through tariffs because the whole world is clamoring to trade with us anyway. So, you know, we sit here and let slave labor undermine our industry so they have to go overseas. And if we put on a tariff to make it level the playing field, they still want to trade with us, and they would do it, and you know, we could maintain our prosperity and keep competitive with the world.
And, of course, the thing is that England did this. They had their so-called free trade for all of their various colonies. England, which was once the mightiest nation in the world, the British Navy ruled the waves, and now they waive the rules. England is a second-rate nation. Their only real claim to fame is they tag along behind America, at least they have at the present. And the people are totally disillusioned, and, of course, increasingly we're going to see this in this country, as the people eventually come to realize that behind everything going on today, there is a plan. And that plan is to impoverish the American people as we lower living standards. And major corporations now are rethinking how they're going to come up with their pension funds and to change from defined benefits to other programs to cheat their employees. And General Motors and Ford and all of them are figuring out how they're going to pay less in the way of pensions and cut off, having to fund drug benefits, which they'd promised to give the people. And people don't understand how this can happen. And it can happen because, of course, the people in positions of power are going to allow it to happen at your lower living standards. Here, after all, why should we live so well when the Mexican peasant in the southern part of Mexico is so poor? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we just shared the wealth? But, of course, we're sharing the wealth of the middle class, not the extremely wealthy, who are pushing this globalist agenda.
You know, there's an old Chinese proverb that says, everyone can't get rich doing each other's laundry. And, you know, as they've undermined our industries and shipped them overseas, it's amazing how they have covered up through deception, because they created this massive financial bubble and prosperity all on borrowed money and print and press money as the stock markets roared and everyone was working, you know, trading stocks and buying goods and things, and that kept the prosperity going for a while, but it was all on borrowed money, and there was so much prosperity in the land, no one could see that there was a problem. You know, how could there be a problem in America when we're all fantastically, you know, wealthy in our stock market? So it was a massive deception that kept America from seeing what was really happening, and that is our whole infrastructure was being undermined, and all of our jobs are being shipped overseas. Now, whenever they pull the plug, and they don't have to pull the plug will collapse of its own weight because you can't build a system on a hollow shell of borrowed money.
Well, you know, John Templeton is one of the smartest investors in the world. Sir John Templeton, who had the Templeton Fund for many years, said that he advises against buying a house until the price of real estate has fallen about 90%, and that time would be a good time to buy a house. Richard Russell, who's been at this for a long time, said he expects the price of gold and the stock market to intercept about $3,000. In other words, the stock market will fall to $3,000 and the price of gold will exceed $3,000 an ounce. Have you heard any of those statements?
Absolutely. In fact, Richard Russell made a similar statement back in the early 70s. I don't remember exactly where gold was trading at the time, but probably in the $100 to $200 range at the most. And he predicted that gold would surpass the Dow. And when he made that statement, of course, he was ridiculed. I thought he'd gone off the deep end. But in 1980, gold went to 870, and the Dow Jones went to 780.
We'll be back here in just a moment or two. And, of course, we'll welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But America's in trouble now. People don't like to hear that, but my job is to tell you what I believe to be the truth. And I'm not a financial advisor, but I've been studying this for 40 years, and Ron has for an awful long time as well. We'd like to know what you think. Are we alarmists, or is there something to be alarmed about? Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and this is the time when we have to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and we're really dependent on those people who listen to our programs 5 hours a day to help us as we reach out across America, really across the world, by shortwave and by internet and by regular radio and certainly by satellite. And, of course, we have a unique opportunity to reach people, to talk to them, to try to get them to understand what's going on. We get some, I think, some wonderful, wonderful guests. And but, of course, everything we do is expensive because we buy our time on radio stations across America and certainly here at the American Freedom Network have been very generous to give us a very, very good rate to be on. But, of course, it still costs a certain amount of money. So if you enjoy our programs, if you think this message is important, we hope that many of you listening this evening will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters. And it's as simple as picking up your telephone and calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And the people, of course, who join the Radio Liberty family of supporters get our monthly newsletter. They get our four best tapes of the month, which we put out on a regular basis, circulated across the country. Then, of course, we hope many of you will go to our website, which is radioliberty.com, www.radioliberty.com. And you really need, if you possibly can, to have a computer and get on the Internet and learn who you can trust. Because, first of all, there's a lot of disinformation there. And there are a lot of government, the CIA sites, because they don't tell you sites, but they're putting out false information or exaggerated information or anti-Semitic information, or call it what you will, to confuse you so you won't be able to see what's really happening all across America. And believe me, anti-Semitism is used as a smokescreen to conceal what's really happening. And so it's so vitally important that you learn who you can trust and who will give you the straight information. But, of course, you can listen to our programs 5 hours a day on the Internet. And I talked to a young man today. I shouldn't say a young man. He told me he's been working for General Motors for 37 years. So I guess he's getting around my age. But anyway, he said he listened for 5 hours a day on the Internet. And, of course, a lot of our programs are archived. You can pull those down and listen to them. We invite you to do that. We ask you to tell others about our website and about our ministry and about these programs. And again, if you'd like a free copy of our newsletter, ask for the September newsletter. I think it's quite good. Why, give us a call of 1-800-544-8927. And why don't you call right now? Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this evening is Ron Brown. Ron, I know that you've written some various things. You have a treatise on silver, don't you?
Right.
Would you like to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you, how they can certainly get that treatise?
If they'd like to just call me at 1-800-595-0561. I'll be glad to send them a packet of information on the economy and letters I've written, and especially silver, because I think silver is probably the no-brainer investment of our lifetime. It's a bird nest on the ground and has no place to go but up. And in this time where everything else is risky, to have an investment with basically zero risk and tremendous upside potential is really a tremendous benefit to people.
All right, that's 1-800-595.
0561.
Okay, let's go to Ed, who's calling us from Idaho. Hi, Ed. How are you doing?
Hello, Dr. Stan. I was hoping to get Mr. Brown's idea of what he thinks is going to take place in the very near future, impacting events, and when is his time frame? I know it's difficult to predict times and whatnot, but so what do you see happening here immediately?
Well, kind of look at the fundamentals and the horrible distress the world monetary system is in, and they think it's going to collapse literally overnight. It probably is not going to for this one reason. The whole world is tied into the dollar. Central banks around the globe have, because I read, 75% of their reserves invested in dollar instruments. So the last thing they want to do is totally collapse the dollar overnight because they can't get out.
Didn't the Japanese kind of buy into the dollar today, save the day?
Oh, yeah, they do it every time because they're so dependent on trading with us that they can't let their currency get stronger than ours because then their products are priced out of our markets. So, yeah, they'll always step in to defend the dollar. And
But, of course, the things that bother me, you know, is that I think that the Chinese would like to have become